Welcome. I've been waking up every day to text messages from my friends in LA. Trader Joe's restocked overnight. People start lining up at 8, they open at 9. I bought 4 dozen eggs at 7-Eleven last night. I went to Gelson's this morning, a 29-person line to get in. No eggs, no meat, no bananas. Now I understand why my grandmother, who was born before the Great Depression, used to save all sorts of weird stuff, like ketchup packets from McDonald's. Because there was a time during the Great Depression and during World War II when things were hard to get. And this is one of those times. As I'm sure you've seen, the shelves have been ransacked. And for the most part, so have our minds. Everyone's a little on edge. It feels like so much is being taken from us. Our sanity, our food, our money, our health. Which can push you into that mental track of, oh my God, there's not enough. We're going to run out. I'm going to lose my ass. It's coming to an end. That mental track can knock you out and render you useless. In 2008, during the financial crisis, I remember reading this story I'll never forget about Joseph Campbell and what he did during the Great Depression. Just to remind you, Joseph Campbell was the world's authority on mythology and ancient religion. And during the Great Depression in 1929, when opportunities were drying up for most Americans, Joseph Campbell went to upstate New York and devoted himself to study. Campbell states that he would, quote, divide the day into 4 4-hour periods, of which I would be reading in 3 of the 4-hour periods and free 1 of them. I would get 9 hours of sheer reading done a day. And this went on for 5 years straight. Now, hopefully, we're not talking about 5 years straight. This might just be a few weeks, maybe a few months. But one thing to note, Joseph Campbell emerged from that time as a leading figure whose wisdom continues to shine almost 40 years after his death. Most of us right now are at home with a lot more downtime. Can you take even just a portion of that downtime and develop your mind? Whether it's time for meditation or reading, time to get closer with your kids, your partner. Author Marilynne Robinson said, "You have to live with your mind your whole life. You build your mind. So make it into something you want to live with." Now, you and I might emerge from this period in history with less of something. Money, security, whatever it is. But you can also emerge with a richer, deeper, more developed mind. So I'm writing this meditation from my home. The kids are napping right now. My wife is in the backyard on a work call, and I'm squeezed into this quiet corner of the house next to this little science project my kids are working on. It was this jar with 5 caterpillars that grew and got bigger and bigger, and now they're in the cocoon stage, and they're just hanging there right in front of me, 5 cocoons, wrapped up tight, ready to emerge as butterflies. Every day I've been studying these cocoons. How did the caterpillars do that? How did they just know to move into the cocoon state at the same time, all 5 of them? The whole world right now is going into a cocoon state. You don't have to accept it or admit it. You can fight it. You can freak out. That would be very difficult to be a caterpillar who's scared of the cocoon, going against nature. And right now, we're dealing with nature. Nature's saying, go within. Be with yourself. Be with your family. Shut down all the action. And when you emerge from this cocoon, you will be different. So long as you trust the process and accept the process, you will be different. You will come out of this with new skills and new perspective. Someone sent me a lovely post today. It's by Laura Kelly Fanucci, and it says, "When this is over, may we never again take for granted a handshake with a stranger, full shelves at the store, conversations with neighbors, a crowded theater, Friday night out, the taste of communion, a routine checkup, the school rush each morning, coffee with a friend, the stadium roaring, each deep breath, a boring Tuesday, life itself. When this ends, may we find that we have become more like the people we wanted to be, we were called to be, we hoped to be. And may we stay that way, better for each other, because of the worst. Somehow, some way, can you settle into the cocoon with peace? Because anything else is going to make this time that much more difficult than it needs to be. Take a moment to get a little more comfortable. And let's wrap ourselves in this cocoon of peace. Peace above me, peace below me, peace around me, peace within me. For a few minutes, I will leave you to relax, to breathe, to settle into the cocoon. Peace above, peace below, peace around, peace within. Coming back to the moment. Now I understand why my grandma, born before the Great Depression, used to save all sorts of weird stuff, like ketchup packets from McDonald's. There was a time during the Great Depression, during World War II, when things were hard to get. This is one of those times. It feels like so much is being taken from us. It might be what the caterpillar feels when it goes into this cocoon of darkness. God knows if the caterpillar is even aware what comes next, and yet it goes forward in peace. And right now, we are dealing with nature. Nature saying, go within, be with yourself, be with your family, shut down the action. And when you emerge from this cocoon, you will be different. As long as you trust the process and accept the process, you will be different. You'll come out of this with new skills, new perspective. But none of this can work unless you come to it with peace. Build your cocoon of peace. Peace above me, peace below me, peace around me, peace within me. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.